There's also places where a dad can learn from a son. And I was so stubborn about it. I'm like, Mike, I'm comfortable in this situation. I don't want to change. But the reality is we needed to change, didn't we?
Yes. And if you're starting a business, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a few good points on this, okay? If you have a bookkeeper, especially, who's not getting things done on time, I've had multiple problems with sales tax not getting filed on time, that's going to drag you down.
Do you want your children to become entrepreneurs? Hello and welcome to the Happy Money Podcast. We're your hosts, Michael and Gino Barbaro. And on today's show, we're going to be answering that question and more. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pops. How we doing?
We're doing good. This is a very difficult show for me because I know that I've tried over the past 20 plus years to mold you into an entrepreneur. I've done some good things and I've done some pretty bad things. Let's dive into what I've done right and what I've done wrong to try to make you, I guess, learn the whole habits and to become your own entrepreneur.
The first thing is that I'm here, right? I'm actually on a podcast. I see mom's laughing over here right now. So that means something must have worked, right? And so let's talk about what worked. Well, the first thing is I started investing in real estate at 17 or 18 years old. And I started to see the progression of success from that. You invest a little money here, it grows into more money. And before you know it, it's a whole lot of money. But why is that? Because I was instilled with good habits of, hey, if you keep doing good things, eventually more good things are going to happen, right? Mm. Not because of luck or whatever, but because of smart decisions and good discernment. Mm. So what are your thoughts on that?
I need to ask you another question because it's been heavy on my heart over the last year or so because I've seen some of the things that I've done really well and I've made a lot of mistakes as a dad. Was I a little too overbearing early on? Because I think a lot of fathers, we're just afraid. We want to be able to provide, protect, and to teach our kids to be able to take care of themselves and make decisions. But was I a little too overbearing and a little too strict on you and saying, you need to do this and you need to do that?
So I think it's interesting. I think every dad needs to hear this. Like, it's okay for your kid to screw up. Your kid is going to mess up, and that's okay. Because if they don't, they're not going to learn. And so I think that what would have been good is I think I needed to make certain choices in my life. And eventually I did. I wasn't going to go to college for finance. I was eventually maybe going to figure that out down the road, but I think I needed to figure out that I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Down the road, I did because I eventually took a second major in accounting, not because you said to, but because I wanted to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I needed to figure out that I wanted to do this on my own. Even though it was the right choice, that was something that I needed to decide eventually, right?
As we're speaking about entrepreneurship, I want to know what your definition is because I'm going to want to share what mine is as well.
So it's interesting because if entrepreneur, it's somebody who creates a business, right? Someone who creates a business and is able to hire employees and is able to be successful in that or not successful. So that's the risk of entrepreneurship. It's either going to work or it's not. And that's why the pay grade is so different compared to someone who works a 9-to-5 or a plumbing job or whatever it may be, right? Is because the risk is substantially higher. And there's an inverse relationship, or not an inverse. I guess it's the more risk you have, the more return you have, right? Mm-hmm. And so the opposite of inverse, I guess. And so if your risk is substantially high, well, of course, you're going to be making millions of dollars compared to somebody who has very little risk and is making 70 or 80,000. Mm-hmm. That's how it works with stocks and bonds, right? Mm-hmm. If a very risky stock, well, of course, you're going to get paid a higher dividend. You're going to have more opportunities to make more compared to, something that's very simple and basic, right?
My definition comes from Tony Robbins. Years ago, I heard this and it's always stuck with me. An entrepreneur is somebody who makes enough money to pay for his or her own mistakes early on.
That's good.
When you're starting out, you don't know what you're doing. Our first couple of real estate deals, we lost a lot of money. And that's what you're talking about. You're taking an inordinate amount of risk. And then at some point, you start figuring things out and it's like, wow, things start clicking. And like you said, you start taking risk, but it becomes less risk because you understand what you're doing. I think to extrapolate and to continue forward, I think an entrepreneur tends to have vision. They tend to be doing things where they create value. You're talking about taking on risk, but if you're starting a business, you need to be able to create value for your customer. If you don't do that, to me, I don't think you're an entrepreneur. I think you need to create value. And really, one of my favorite definitions is the woman who's sitting here helping us run this podcast right now. I think every mom out there is an entrepreneur. I think entrepreneurs need to figure it out. I think they're bootstrappers. I think when you look at what mom does, she does a little bit of everything. She takes the kids to wherever they need to go. She's a chef. She's a doctor. She's a podcast producer. She's a podcast host. She's written books. I mean, what better model than a mother as being the pinnacle of entrepreneurship? That to me, when I think about that, it's incredible. Mom staying at home and trying to figure it out, because everyone thinks of an entrepreneur as like being Steve Jobs or being like Bill Gates. They think that's what entrepreneurship is. And that's part of it. But when you're ripping it down, I think anybody listening to this podcast can become an entrepreneur.
And it's interesting. I've got some notes here too. It's even, you know, running a household is like a small business. Like you said, you've got budgeting, you've got scheduling, you've got multitasking, a bunch of different things. And of course, it's a huge risk. Mm-hmm. Having a family is a huge risk, but the reward is great. Mm-hmm. Is it not?
Yes. Let's get back to the question though. How else did I screw you up? What else did I do wrong? So some parents can like at least take some kind of golden nuggets out of it and say, okay, I'm not going to do that because Gino did that and Michael said it wasn't a good idea.
So again, like I said before, it comes back to how are we letting our kids make their own mistakes? Not these crazy like, you know, going out and partying kind of mistakes, but how are we letting them make their own decisions? Let's go back to college. Does your kid even want to go to school for finance? Do they want to be a doctor? Do they want to be these things that we want them to be? What if they came to you and said, hey, I want to do this completely different thing? What's your reaction? If your reaction is to get defensive and say, I don't want you to do this. This is crazy. I'm not involved in this. Well, that's going to leave a huge scar on them. And that's going to be a huge relational problem, right? And so what does it look like to step back and say, I'm going to support you in this good thing, whatever that may be, and see how that turns out? What does that say?
I remember when you came to me and you said, Dad, I want to get my FFL license. Didn't even know what that was. And I remember you coming to me and saying, I need to open up an LLC. Can you help me out? And I said, Michael, I've probably opened up 50 LLCs in my life. I've never done it myself. You go figure it out. So I did take some of your advice, didn't I? I let you fail forward. I let you start the LLC. I let you get all the licensing. I let you open up the accounts. I let you do the background work. I let the ATF come into my home and allow you to interview you. So talk about that experience a little bit, because that was a little frightening to me, because I had to let go. And at the same time, I gave you the resources. I gave you the team members that you needed, but you still needed to do a lot of the work yourself, didn't you?
So that was interesting, because I feel like every step of that process went wrong. There was not one step of that process that went right. And that was why it was funny to me. So we opened the LLC. I think we had one of our other guys do it. It wasn't our normal accountant. And so he's asking me all these questions. He's like, where is this? Where is that? I have no idea what you're talking about. And so we sent out multiple applications for different things. Almost everything was wrong every step of the way. I had to find other licenses that I didn't even know existed. I learned so much about this county. It's ridiculous. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when you go back and I've started additional businesses out of this county, well, now I know everything to do because I made every mistake along the way. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I remember you pushing me and teaching me. Also, we had a bookkeeper, good bookkeeper, but not the right bookkeeper. Correct?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, because there's also places where a dad can learn from a son. And I was so stubborn about it. I'm like, Mike, I'm comfortable in this situation. I don't want to change. But the reality is we needed to change, didn't we?
Yes. And if you're starting a business, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a few good points on this, okay? If you have a bookkeeper, especially, who's not getting things done on time, I've had multiple problems with sales tax, not getting filed on time, that's going to drag you down.
Oh.
Because you're going to pay fees, you're going to pay additional things that you're not supposed to be paying.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many extensions filed on different tax returns that were supposed to get done early. We filed for extensions, thankfully. But if I didn't have a bookkeeper or an accountant that knew what they were doing, you know, that can get very messy very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it comes down to, who do we need to get rid of? Who do we need to keep? Why do we need to get rid of them? And being honest, is this person helping our business or are they hurting our business? If they're hurting our business, get rid of them.
It's hard though, isn't it, to rip
off?
It's
very hard. But what's harder, having a bad bookkeeper or having a bad business? It's as simple as that.
When you put it that way, Mike, I should have done it sooner, but it, you know, you are comfortable and you're just squeaking by. And it seems as if I'm a horrible dad. I made tons of mistakes. Help me out here. Help a brother out. What did I do right?
Well, like I said, I'm here, right? Pretty simple.
You're here. What does that mean, you're here, though? I mean, like, let's dive into that.
Yes.
Because before you answer that, Michael, I like to say that this is, like, for me, one of my favorite hours of the week, to be able to sit down with you, to be able to prepare for the show, to be able to share the stories that we have, and to be able to see your growth. Because at the age of 23, I had zero chance of getting in front of a camera and a mic to be able to explain my thoughts the way you do. So for me, that's a massive win as a father. I know I had no ability to do that at your age.
So one of the big things, again, is, you know, learning who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So learning your identity, for me, is learning my identity as a son of God. That's number one. Number two is finding what you'd like to do. I love talking my ideas. I love talking finance. I love talking faith. And so it comes down to how do we mold those ideas and make them into part of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a big thing. Entrepreneurship is a big thing for me because it gives me the opportunity to do what I want and to provide value to other people who need it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so how do we take that idea and present it to other people?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's a podcast. And for somebody else, that might be doing art. That might be doing accounting. That might be their own version of art or selling guns or playing music or anything like that.
And I need to say that as fathers who are listening to this, if you want your children to become entrepreneurs, don't fathers need to be entrepreneurs themselves? Don't they need to be the ones who are leading? Don't they need to be the ones who are supposed to be the role models? For instance, we were on a call this morning with the bookkeeper, had Gabriella on the call with me with the bookkeeper. I have to show some kind of guidance and some kind of leadership with the habits that I take to be able to show you guys this is what it looks like. You know, entrepreneurs are always on time. They don't make excuses. They're constantly thinking about creating value. And I think at some point they're mission driven. And that's what was missing early on in my entrepreneurial journey with the restaurant. I think early on I had it at the restaurant. I just loved what I did. I was providing value for the community, but then I sort of lost that. And that's why I actually got out of the restaurant business and got into real estate. I fell in love with that entrepreneurial journey of being able to provide for investors, for the residents, for the family itself, for the employees that we were growing. So don't you think that as you're listening to this, you know, some things that fathers can do to be able to be that role model for children?
I think it goes both ways. Because on one hand, you do have that, which is very important. And on the other hand, you have the other extreme, which is I saw my father, he did this, he did that, and I wanted to be nothing like my father, and I wanted to do my own thing. So it can go both ways depending on the kid, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I'm very thankful that I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and that definitely helps. But again, if you have somebody who is a father who doesn't really work, who doesn't really do anything, a kid might see that and they might go with that, or they might say, I didn't like what my family did, so I'm going to do my own thing. So I can go both ways.
It's interesting when you were talking about the story about investing, you sort of glossed over it, but that was an inflection point for myself because at some points, dads want to be sort of friends with their kids and we don't want to say no, but when you wanted to spend your money on that amplifier when you're 16 years old.
Here we go again.
And I told you not to. But this is an important story because you could have bought it. You had $5,000 in the bank, amazingly, at that age, and it was your money. But I knew that was the wrong decision. And at some points and sometimes you have to step up and say no to your kids. And that's something really hard for dads to hear. No, you don't need to spend $1,500 on this amp when you already have two other ones. And that was the biggest battle that we had. I remember you for 3 months, you wore me down. And I said, just wait. When we have a deal, you can invest your money into this deal. And I think that may have been abstract to you. I don't think you really fully understood what that meant. But you'd been around real estate your whole life with me investing in properties. And then when you finally invested in it, it was like, wow, this is okay. And then we started making money. Walk me through how that felt when you started making money and the realization that, wow, dad was right and I was wrong.
So I was pissed, of course, right? Because I'm like, this is my money. It's in my name. What are you telling me to do with my money? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like a 16-year-old mafia boy right there. I'm like, don't tell me what to do.
You were pissed.
I was very mad.
And I was pissed at you because you're telling me I need this thing. I'm like, Mike, you have two amps. Do you need another one? And you're like,
of course,
Dad,
I need another one.
Yes,
it's like buying
one.
A pair of shoes.
But that was a turning point, I think, in your adolescence. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things that you could have done for habits, for entrepreneurship, for delayed gratification, for all of those things.
So it's interesting too, because delayed gratification, you mentioned that. We have a lot of properties that aren't doing anything right now. I've been invested in them for 2 or 3 years. They're not cash flowing. They're not doing anything, right? And so delaying gratification of not buying that amp, I think I waited 3 or 4 years to buy it. And then I just bought it like 6 months ago, actually. It's probably been more than 5 years. I waited a long time for that amp. But the whole point is you wait until everything falls into place. And then when the time is right and you know you have enough finances, then you go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because a year ago, you're like, Dad, I want to buy a gun. I'm like, yeah, you can go out and buy a gun. It's not cheap. And a day later, I'm like, Mike, I think we got a deal. Your next comment to me was, I guess I'm not buying the gun. I guess all the money's going into the deal. And that's what you're trying to do as a father, as someone to try to teach your kids about entrepreneurship. There's needs and there's wants. You need a gun? Do you need it? No, you want it. And it's okay. You can reward yourself, but there's trade-offs in life. If you want to become an entrepreneur, you have to be able to invest in certain things and delay the gratification of certain other things.
And that's the hardest part. That's one of the risks of entrepreneurship is you can't have what you want all the time. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the risk of life, right?
Yes.
But entrepreneurship, again, there's something about putting your money aside that you know you can't touch, that you have. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, I don't need to invest in a deal to that degree, but I want to, mm-hmm. You know?
Are you pissed at me right now, Mike?
I think a little bit still. I think my 16-year-old self's come back. I'm like, freaking want that amp.
I remember that so clearly.
Yeah, so you know,
the last story that I love to share is even the story of Gabriella. Gabriella never, I don't think, really thought of herself as an entrepreneur. But what is amazing to me is that she was a missionary. She goes out and she has to raise funds to become a missionary.
Yeah.
That's an
entrepreneur. And it wasn't a lot. It was like, I think she raised 50 grand in 2 years.
But what's incredible is money. That's being an entrepreneur, because you're sharing the mission and the vision of the church. And you're working, trying to spread God's message. That to me is being an entrepreneur, going out there and selling that idea and being able to, you know, get money, be able to attract money to be able to do that. That's incredible. And she's got a jewelry business now. She's got a little massage business right now. She's an executive producer on a film where they have to raise capital for that. So all of these little habits as a father, sometimes being overbearing, sometimes coming from a place of fear, sometimes trying to instill habits. I think you see the fruits of your labor as a dad, and you see your daughter who all of a sudden goes to her mom a couple weeks ago and goes, Mom, I think I'm an entrepreneur. And I...
Oh, she actually said that?
Yes.
Oh, she didn't.
I wholeheartedly agree with her.
That's great.
Anybody can be an entrepreneur. And you know what her genius is? She's a creator artist. She makes beautiful jewelry. Her artwork is phenomenal. She's so talented at that. But you wouldn't... The average person would not connect entrepreneurship and artistry. And I wouldn't have years ago. But now that I see the genius in that, to me, that is the definition of the entrepreneur. Being able to create something and be able to be mission-driven and being able to spread that message. Mm-hmm. Wow. You're creating value and you're making money doing it.
Well, it's funny. Creating value and all these things, again, you're creating something that's yours that you go out and share with someone else. And that's an important thing. And that's art, that's music. All these people who are musicians, like I have such joy when I hear good music, because they're creating something that's here, and then they give it to everyone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So there's a huge value created in that.
So Michael, the problem was that dad was overbearing, dad was afraid, dad could be annoying. What is the solution? Let's leave some solutions or some takeaways for the listeners.
So I said this twice already, but she's laughing already.
It's okay.
It's okay for your kids to mess up.
Okay.
It's okay for them to come back to you and say, I messed up. I spent too much money here. I'm not good with my finances, whatever that is. And it's okay for them to learn how to use them wisely and to give them guidance. Because again, at some point when we're 17, 18, 19 years old, there's a time where they're going to have to learn that, and that's okay. But again, there's a difference between being overbearing and between being a learning guide. That's what's important.
The solution for me is to have the grace. It's really scary for dads to see your children messing up and wanting to jump in there and step in there and fix things.
But where does that fear come from? Let's go with that.
It comes from me. I want, as a dad, you want the best for your kids. You don't want your kids to hurt or to suffer. You just don't.
Well,
you want to fix the problem.
Yes, but what's the best for the kids? How do we fully know that?
Yeah, it's so easy, logically, Michael, but it's an emotional component. It's hard. I remember when you were in college and you were failing at math and you came to me and I sort of had to step back.
I was math?
Well, yeah, you had a problem. It was either an accounting class or a math class and you didn't know what you're doing. And honestly, I looked at it and I'm like, you got to figure it out yourself. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what the heck you were doing. And I remember you struggled, but it was, you know, you didn't see me cry. I cried because I felt so bad for you, because I know that you were in pain and you couldn't figure it out. So it's so easy to say that. But as a dad, I think it is wise advice to be able to have your children fail at some point and to be able to know that when you're there, just to listen to them. And sometimes we don't have the answers. Sometimes we just need to hear our children talk and let them speak. And that is the hardest thing to do, Mike.
But it works.
But it's the hardest thing to do.
I know. I'm aware. But there's the reason it works. It's because it's the hardest thing to do.
As long as you're still not pissed at me, let's keep doing real estate deals. I love you, Mike.
Love you, Pops.
Thanks for listening to the Happy Money Podcast. We're your hosts, Gino and Michael Barbaro, and we'll see you on next week's show.